And we've got student phenology coming up next for you. Always excited to lift our spirits, especially in the springtime when things are popping.
Boy, are they ever. Yeah, if you haven't been outside lately, if you've let the rain deter you, why, you're missing something, because there's a lot of things happening out there right now. Lots of changes are taking place, and it's a good time to get out and see what is, in fact, taking place in your neighborhood.
We heard from Mary from Cass Lake this morning. She texted in. She said, the swan couple on North Webb Lake are doing well. Mom sitting on the nest and Dad keeping watch.
All right.
And Mary keeping watch as well.
Right. Yeah.
Hope you're having a great day, Mary. Thanks for texting.
There's, pardon me, there's some evidence that that swans are pretty protective of their lake, and that they will work really hard to make sure that first of all, no other swans, but they'll harass the geese, they'll harass the loons. They're a big bird, and they throw their weight around. So if you have swans, that's grand. But remember, they're probably keeping a half a dozen other birds off your water because they just don't want them there.
How proud was I to show you my Merlin app and all the birds I saw in a 5-minute period yesterday.
Right. And what was among your birds?
A Merlin.
A Merlin on Merlin. Yeah, perfect.
I thought it was just someone who didn't know what to name it. Maybe it was in the database. So it was called Merlin. I didn't know Merlin was a thing.
Yeah,
kind
Merlin.
Kind of a hawk, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. And very effective. And oftentimes, living in the city, they like to nest in big pines, and they're perfectly happy to hang out with a whole bunch of other birds, and all the other birds know where they're at for sure, because they are bird killers, bird capturers. But you know, you do things right, and you maybe avoid that misfortune of meeting the Merlin. Yeah, you get a little careless, and Well, let's turn to the student phenology. Let's listen to what the students are seeing. And then, of course, coming up in half hour, 40 minutes or so, I'll be boring you to tears with my phenology. So stay tuned for that as well.
Or thrilling us.
Or thrilling. Yes, I did have a thrilling week. I had I have some big news coming up. So stay tuned. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Our phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell. Our first report comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Community Middle School.
This is Tyler and Noah reporting from Mr. Caddett's class in Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of April 28th.
Everything is starting to look green around here, from our lawns to the tips of tree branches.
It has been too wet and cold for hepatica, bloodroot, and trout lilies to bloom fully.
The loons and white pelicans have returned to our lakes.
Their garter snakes are emerging from their hibernations, and several classmates have seen bats flying around their houses.
The red horse suckers are running in the rivers.
Mr. Cadds followed and was able to identify a mustard white butterfly.
This week, we saw a brown thrasher, barn swallows, northern ruffed-winged swallow, a swamp sparrow, and white-throated sparrows.
We have had lots of birds hitting windows this week. We are curious what the best method for preventing this is.
Mr. Wenzel shared a new creature with us, a rat-tailed maggot. It is the bizarre-looking larva of a dronefly.
A classmate has a turkey vulture nest visible from his house.
Mr. Caddett observed a chickadee pulling tiny strips off of branches from a juniper, probably for a nest.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thanks, guys. That was a great report. Lots of interesting things going on down there in Little Falls and headed our way. I have heard, they said loons and pelicans. I've heard of a few pelicans making it this far north. Garter snakes, you know, Long Lake always has garter snakes early, but they have a hibernaculum right there on the property, so they get to look at them as they first come out. I have not run across a garter snake, and I was thinking about that yesterday, but they'll be around before long. And the suckers are running in the creeks. That's 1st of May, I think, that season opens. A mustard white butterfly. That's pretty early. I haven't seen one yet, and no reports from Dallas Hudson or from John Weber out there in Nevis about mustard whites yet, but soon, I expect. And then a nice list of birds, including the brown thrasher, the northern ruffed-winged swallow, the swamp sparrow, and, of course, white-throated sparrows. I've seen a few of those myself. Rat-tailed maggot. Oh, boy. You can't have more fun than maggots.
I think you can, John. You know, they have the question about the bird collisions.
And yes.
Did you see Charlie's suggestion?
I did see what Charlie had written there,
I'd never heard of this. Make little dots every 1.5 square inches with a bar of soap. Otherwise, she's had luck with feather-friendly window markers. They've nearly eliminated bird collisions on our windows, even though the feeder is quite close to the house. What is that? Ecopian Bird Savers also work if you want a zen experience. Or you can pay more for UV reflective material, which is visible to birds but not humans. Do you do anything for...
I do not, okay. But my bird feeder is close to the house, and for the most part, the birds can't get up enough speed because usually they hit the window when they're fleeing off the feeder, and they can't get up enough speed to really hit the window with any real... collision force, or, you know, they bump into it and then they kind of go over and sit on a branch and sort of collect their senses. But occasionally I do. I have curtains that I can pull, and I have used silhouettes of hunting birds like your Merlin, and they have some effect. But basically I just have the feeder so close to the house that it's hard for the birds to get up enough speed to really knock themselves senseless. Our next report comes from Nate Masakevich's class at Baxter Elementary School.
Hello, from Mr. Masakevich's class at Baxter Elementary. My name is Sammy,
Halo, and Xander,
and we are your phonologists for this week.
It has been really rainy and windy. It also hasn't been very warm because of the wind. We also got a hard frost on Wednesday.
Lilac bud break on the 28th, first red maple break on the 24th, and first beaked hazel leaf on the 25th.
Some people have seen deer. Isabel saw three-week-old baby squirrels who fell out of a tree she helped them. This all happened on the 23rd after school.
Some of our classmates saw a lot of worms on the 28th from the rain. One of our classmates also saw some bees on the 25th. And also on the 25th, someone saw Compton's tortoise butterflies.
Our classmate Audrey saw a kingfisher on the 22nd of April. Sammy saw loons on their nest on the 26th. Somebody saw a hairy woodpecker on the 28th, two male and two female yellowfinch on the 28th, too.
This concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Nice report, kids. Thank you so much. I like the way they accounted for each date. For example, the first red maple bud break on, that would be leaf bud break on the 24th, and the first beaked hazel leaf bud break on the 25th. And over the years, working with Jeff Sipper down in Crosby, we had established a kind of a four-day lag between Brainerd area and Grand Rapids area, and looking at beaked hazel. Theirs bud break was on the 25th, ours was on the 29th, 4 days. And it's exactly what I would have expected. So thank you, Nate, for that great report. And thanks, kids, Sammy, Xander, and Halo. Nice job. And keep up the good work. I really appreciate that good report. Our next report comes from the Modern Montessori Charter School's trip to Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade.
This is Piper and Hayden from Modern Montessori Charter School in Champlain. During our school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on April 22nd through the 24th, the low temperature was 27 degrees Fahrenheit and the high temperature was 64. We had a few sprinkles and tiny hail. Our group observed that pink, purple, and white are blooming and the grass is turning greener. There are still lots of leaves, pine needles, and acorns on the ground. We learned that bog water is tasty and Labrador tea leaves, when boiled, make a mildly sweet and delicious tea. The squirrels are very active at the bark feeders.
We observed beavers swimming in the lake, and two of them swam close to us and flapped their tails in the water as a warning. Two loons were spotted on the lake diving for fish. The frogs are noisy and active. We heard lots of croaking from the marsh, saw a leopard frog by the lake, and spring peepers be peeping. It was a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and live connected.
Thanks, Piper. Hayden, nice job. Always a great report out of Long Lake. Lots of things going on down there. Pink, purple, and white hepaticas. I have the white hepaticas blooming right now at my house, but none of the others, and I'm anxiously awaiting them. I check them every couple of days. Bog water is tasty. Well, I guess maybe. It hasn't been my favorite drink. Labrador tea leaves, when boiled, make a mildly sweet and delicious tea. They also, in large quantities, carry a chemical that's probably not good for you. I can't recall now. It's too long since I've read it. But I know that you wouldn't want to make a steady diet of Labrador tea as something to drink, because it does have a chemical that is not the very best for humans. Probably won't kill you, and in small doses, it's probably not bad for you, but you probably just don't want to drink a lot of Labrador tea. Our next report comes from Sand Creek Elementary's trip to Long Lake Conservation Center.
This is Owen.
And Evan.
And Gia from Sand Creek Elementary in Coon Rapids. During our outdoor school trip to Long Lake Conservation Center, April 24th through the 26th, the low temperature was 29 degrees Fahrenheit, and the high temperature was sunny 67. The beavers were swimming around the edge of the lake and hiking up the hill. We think they were looking for a snack. They seemed to be very used to humans watching them. We noticed many deer tracks and saw deer running in the forest. One student found what they guessed was a clump of fox fur, and several students saw a chipmunk with a small dead snake.
We also saw a gardener snake and noticed the orange-red coloring on it. When the gardener snake was picked up, it made a smelly smell just like the Long Lake naturalist said it would. We noticed male and female purple finches and a yellow-bellied sapsucker. Before we went canoeing, we were sitting on the shore of Long Lake, and we got to watch a curious loon swim very close to shore.
We saw many different sized painted turtles, both in the lake and on land. We also saw the year's first dragonflies. The marsh marigolds have flower buds, and the hepatica are in bloom. In the bog, it was calm. There were lots of water and a very big dip. If you stepped on that spot, you might sink to your shoulders. We had a great week in nature, and we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside,
and live connected!
Thanks, kids. That's Owen, Evan, and Gia, and they had a nice report. They come from down around the cities and get a chance to go to Long Lake Conservation Center. That's got to be an exciting trip for them. And yeah, you pick up a garter snake, you're going to find out that they have an odor. Yes, they do, and they can produce it from their cloaca, and they can put it all over you if you handle them enough. Purple finches, yellow-bellied sapsuckers, just a lot of birds. First, dragonflies. I would expect that those would have been green darners. Dallas Hudson reported green darners over in the Akeley area this past week as well. Marsh marigolds have flower buds, and my marsh marigolds aren't even up yet, so I'm a little impressed by that. But nice report from the kids at Long Lake Conservation Center. Our next report comes from Colin Cody's class at West Rapids Elementary School in Grand Rapids.
Howdy, this is Alexandra.
And this is Lula.
This is our phenology report for Mr. Cody's fourth grade classroom in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. This is for Mr. Latimer. This week, Mr. Latimer and Ms. Egger provided us a chance to collect aquatic microinvertebrates. We sampled the back pond with dip nets. We found a surprising amount. There was a blood midge, daphnia, water spider,
water boatman, water beetle, larvae,
and a type of snail. My favorite was being able to wear the boots and going in the water and carrying a net and catching microinvertebrates.
And my favorite was finding a tiny snail.
Always go onward and awkward, just like Mr. Latimer says.
Onward and awkward. The words of a true outdoorsman. Yes, I was awkwardly stepping through the swamps yesterday and didn't run into, well, I didn't dip my net to find out if there were any aquatic invertebrates in there, though I'm sure there probably were. They certainly can occupy any little niche like that. When they get a tiny foothold, they'll take off. And there were some interesting things in the water there. The blood midge, the daphnia, the water spider, the water boatman, the water beetle larvae, and some kind of a snail, a nice little twisted snail that somehow got his body in there.
We just heard from Pam Perry reminding us of an event this weekend with you, John Latimer. It's at 9 a.m. this Saturday at the Rice Lake Natural Wildlife Refuge. That is south of McGregor.
Yep. If you go to McGregor, turn south on Highway 65 toward, McGrath, but McGregor or Mora would be the big city south of McGregor. and you'll see the Rice Lake Wildlife Center building right there along the highway, probably, I'm guessing now, 6 or 7 miles south of McGregor. Okay. It might be a few more miles, but it's a beautiful area and should be a lot of fun.
This was arranged by the Benashi Council Bird Club, but it is free and open to all. And Pam Perry will also be there with you, John Latimer.
Yeah, it's just days away. The forecast is improving. We're planning on light rain or shine, phenology walk, 9 a.m. on Saturday. And if you have any questions, you can call me and I'll try to fill you in. But good chance to get out and see a really interesting part of the state and probably run into a lot of interesting birds. It's a really great area for waterfowl especially. So bring your binoculars. And our next report, our final report for the morning, comes from Lee Jackson and Darcy Rolfe's class at North Shore Community School near Duluth.
Hello from North Shore Community School on the north shore of Lake Superior. My name is Jory, and I am your phenologist for this week. The snowy mix was predicted with rain for Tuesday, April 23rd. On this day at school, we had a quick, short burst of heavy rain during recess, followed by hail around 11:45 a.m. It only lasted for about 20 minutes. A full moon was viewed that evening. It is known that as a pink moon, however, it is not pink in color. It is more of a golden color. The name comes from a pink wildflower native to eastern North America called the Phlox subulata. Miss Jackson spotted her first purple finch at her bird feeder on Friday, April 19th. Miss Urban heard a purple finch singing when she got to school on Monday morning, April 22nd. On that same day, she also heard a white-throated sparrow singing in her yard for the first time. On Monday, April 22nd, Miss Felton's class watched a girl strum on a log in the school forest. On Thursday, April 25th, Miss Urban saw a pair of eastern bluebirds using one of the nesting boxes on the school's property. Tree swallows are also checking out the next nest boxes. On Thursday, April 25th, Mr. Dorr's class saw a yellow-bellied sapsucker poking its head in a newly created cavity on an aspen tree, which it will use as a nest. Miss Rademacher's class found wild strawberry leaves growing in the forest on Tuesday, April 23rd. And Miss Young's class found a round-lobed heapacti flowers, which can be white or purple in color. On Tuesday, April 23rd, students started noticing red maple flowers that had fallen on the school's forest, which happens there when they are done flowering. On Thursday, April 25th, Miss Lounsbury's class found ramps or leaks starting to emerge. Miss Rademacher's class saw a small cricket in the forest on Tuesday, April 23rd. Miss Jackson heard spring peepers for the first time at her house in Knife River on the evening of Monday, April 22nd. On the same day, Miss Urban heard frogs in the pond at school. Earth Day was celebrated on Monday, April 22nd. Earth Day was founded in 1970 by Gaylord Nelson, a Wisconsin senator who was very concerned about the damaging effects of pollution was having on the Earth. Earth Day is a great reminder to preserve our planet's natural environment. At our school this month, we have been cleaning up trash around our grounds, weighing our weekly classroom garbage, making posters, and sharing positive quotes on our morning announcements. Our sixth grade has been working on sea change expeditions, learning about the negative effects of single-use plastic, and creating plastic awareness art. Make every day Earth Day. This concludes the phonology report. Have a great week and be observant.
Thank you for that wonderful report. That was great. There were lots of wonderful things in there. I love that the preschoolers were discovering wintergreen leaves, and maybe they'll get lucky and find a wintergreen fruit and get to chew on one and see how interesting they are. Ramps or leaks? Ed Dallas, a longtime member of KAXE who has since moved away to be with his family out west, used to be really fond of picking ramps and in his area. Crickets are out. Spring peepers are calling. Eastern bluebirds, tree swallows, yellow-bellied sapsuckers, wild strawberry leaves. Wild strawberry leaves are not only among the first to emerge, but they also overwinter as bright green leaves. So you may be out there and looking. And remember, leaves of three, let it be. If you look at the edge of the strawberry leaf, which comes in groups of three, you will see a nice even toothing along the edges. So the edges of strawberry leaves are toothed just the way you might think a saw would be toothed, to lots of even and regular teeth. Poison ivy is indeterminately dentate, which means there might be some teeth on one side and no teeth on the other. There might be no teeth at all. There might be teeth on both sides, but they are never regular. They're never even the way a strawberry leaf tooth is. So that's your deal there. And thank you, kids, for cleaning up and checking out plastic. Man, our group in Cohasset took some trash bags with us last Tuesday when we were out for a walk. I guess it was last Monday, but at any rate, we took some bags with us and we picked up like three bags full of trash in like a 4-block hike. So yeah, think about plastic when you're shopping and when you're throwing things out. Plastic is one of those things that we probably could be better off without.